Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast. Or as always, head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with author, Green Beret, and security expert Robert Patrick Lewis, and we've got a lot to talk about with him tonight. But what we've seen in the news recently, Rob, is the Democrats are looking to start this January 6th commission, even though there's already been over 900 search warrants, over 2,000 cell phones confiscated, and it's already been a bigger investigation than a 9/11 in a lot of ways, if you count the wiretaps, the surveillance, and other things the government has done. But now they're talking about this commission for the January 6th incident. Yet here we have Antifa on a nightly basis burning down the city in Portland. Seattle, half the city was taken over by extremists and nothing was done. When are investigations going to start for the radical left, Rob?
That's a good question, Andrew. And I've been wondering that for quite some time. And the way it looks, it doesn't seem as if though there will be an investigation on the radical left, because the radical left controls just about all of the media, big tech, and unfortunately, our Justice Department and law enforcement. A lot of these issues have been taking place in Democrat-led cities and towns. So I wouldn't hold my breath. And if those of you who are holding your breath waiting for John Durham's report, go ahead and breathe, because I don't know where he is or what he's doing. As I've said many times on the broadcast, Bill Barr had every opportunity to put his foot down and look at this and speak truthfully. He knows what's going on is not lawful. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. It doesn't even take a lawyer to figure it out. All you have to do is just watch the news, read the news, read different variety of mediums in the news. And you can see that there's something nefarious that's taking place. But they're telling us, don't believe your eyes. Don't believe what you're reading. We're going to explain the news to you, when time after time after time, all these incidents that have taken place, they have come back only to find out what they told us did not happen. Russia collusion, all the lies that were told. Oh, we've got from credible sources that this did take place, and Trump did this and Trump that. I'm here to let you know, CNN, the folks that work inside of CNN, the typecasters or the telephone operators, they're not credible sources. They're just individuals that work at CNN who started spinning lies. The same thing with MSNBC. Credible sources inside the White House. Folks, the doorman inside the White House is not a credible source. The person that cleans up the White House is not a credible source. The person at the Pentagon that's running errands is not a credible source. And we have seen this time after time after time after time. It gets to the point that it's kind of ridiculous, but people buy it because the media reports on it, and the way they write about it and give commentary on it, people actually believe it. Look at Rachel Maddow. She did the same thing with Trump's tax returns. And just recently, we have the New York's Attorney General saying that she's going to join forces with New York's district attorney to file criminal charges against the Trump organization. Okay, fine. Where's the evidence? If you've got evidence, charge the man. If you got evidence, charge the Trump organization. But it's just smoke screens to make you think that there's something there, when in actuality, there is no there. And then you also mentioned the whole January 6th situation. Now, we have someone who's coming on tonight, Robert Patrick Lewis, former Green Beret, who's going to talk to us a little about that because he was there. So I definitely want to get his insight. We had Moms of America on not too recently. She was there. But one thing that I want to point out before we bring Robert Patrick Lewis, is that this whole thing with insurrection, as you mentioned, Andrew, spring 2020 and summer, that was the insurrection. People had guns, weapons, attacking state and local governments, attacking our law enforcement. That was the insurrection. The insurrection was in 2017, 2018, when you had women marching and clawing at the doors of the Supreme Court because they didn't want Brett Kavanaugh to be sworn in as a Supreme Court justice. That was an insurrection. Now, of course, they weren't charged with insurrection, but they could have been. Now, fast forward to January 6th. Almost 200 people were arrested and are still in jail, probably 100 or so in jail. Not one of them have been charged with insurrection. But not a one was charged with insurrection. But still, we have the left, Democrats, and a few rhino Republicans talking about insurrection. There was no insurrection. None of these people have been charged with insurrection. So why are you constantly talking about insurrection? So these are the things that we have to look at. Is our government lying to us? In my opinion, they're embellishing the truth because they want a particular outcome. So without further ado, let's bring on Robert Patrick Lewis, author and Green Beret. Robert, how is it going?
Hey, gentlemen. It's going great. Thanks for having me and glad to be here. And I got to say, I agree with you on a lot of those subjects. I do have to add, the government is not just embellishing, but I believe they are outright lying because they're still towing this line. Multiple officers died on January 6th, even though Darren Beatty and Revolver have proven to everybody that has been paying attention to what they've been saying, that not only was the only person killed as a result of violence that day Ashley Babbitt, who was killed by what some people think was a Capitol Police officer, what others think was not even a Capitol Police officer, but instead Chuck Schumer's personal security detail, but they keep saying that line over and over and over. And there was only one person that died as a result of violence that day. It was Ashley Babbitt. Officer Sicknick did not even die of violence, yet they keep repeating that same mantra over and over and over, despite undeniable evidence that it's not true. And that means there's something more nefarious afoot there.
So Robert, you were there that day. Why were you there? In what capacity were you there? Were you there as a security detail, or were you there just to hear the president, to support the other individuals that were there, not to riot, but they wanted their voices heard? So why were you there?
All of the above. So there were, if you remember, kind of, if you step back into that time and place, there were a lot of events going on. So in the fourth quarter of last year, my group, First Amendment Praetorian, was in Washington, D.C. constantly. We did 16 events in just the last quarter of last year, and many of them were in D.C. And so that was kind of maybe the fourth or fifth weekend that I had been there. We had multiple events on the 5th. That were kind of events that were leading up to that. On the 6th, we had some private security things that we were doing. And I was fortunate enough that a friend of mine gave me VIP tickets to go to the Ellipse. So I actually was in the Ellipse. I was a couple hundred feet away from President Trump. And it was bone-chilling cold, but I actually got to see that part. And I had a large contingent of our group that were in and around the city at that time. So I got the advantage of a lot of different viewpoints that day from around multiple vantage points around DC. So I was there and I got to get a lot of updates about what happened throughout the city on that day.
Okay. And what did you experience? Did it start out peacefully? What was the mood of the folks who were there?
So at the Ellipse, here's the interesting thing. Number one, it's the coldest I've ever been. I did not know DC could get that cold. You know, I've lived in some cold places before, but I've lived in Southern California for the last 10 years. So I'm a bit of a wimp when it comes to bone chilling cold weather. And so number one, it was very cold. Number two, I will tell you that the way that it's being recollected or falsely recollected or massaged by a lot of people, especially in the leftist media, to make it seem like it was this riotous, you know, energy packed thing. There at the Ellipse, it was anything but, right? So first off, President Trump was an hour and a half, 2 hours late before he even spoke. You know, I've heard a lot of recollections given by Rachel Maddow and her ilk, that it was all these fiery, you know, hellfire and brimstone speeches that were trying to gin up some kind of anger and violence work the audience into a frenzy. And it was anything but. I was a little unhappy. I thought it was kind of lackluster. There were a lot of big gaps of time between speakers. There were, Professor Eastman, when he and Rudy Giuliani got up to speak, they have tried to say that he and Rudy Giuliani were specifically trying to actually start an insurrection, start a riot. It's a complete farce. It was anything but. I was a little upset. It was like a lower intensity Trump rally, right? It wasn't even to the level that a Trump rally would normally be. People that were there were a little upset that he was late, that there were all these gaps in time. There were a lot of people that were happy to be there. And again, there to show all their support for President Trump and to be there to, as you said, make their voices be heard. But you know, if you listen to the leftist media and their account of that day, and that it was a riot waiting to happen, it was anything but. And I tell you that as a guy that was there at the front. I got there very early. I got there at 7 a.m. to go and, you know, get my spot. And there were already thousands of people there. And if you've never been to one of these events, and I went to all of them in D.C. in the end of last year and the beginning of this year, the thing that everybody walks away there from, right? And that's my first business in college was producing large scale music festivals. So I've been around very large groups of people my whole life. I understand what you could typically expect when you're around a large group of people. The groups of people that you find, especially at these, you know, Pro MAGA, the Million MAGA March, all these events that were going on in DC, and the six is no different. You find the nicest people. Everybody is there to help each other out. Everybody is there to ensure that we all have a good time. We're all able to speak our mind, that we're all able to commune with each other and work towards this thing that we all wanted, right? We had seen everything that was happening in our country, the violence, the escalation of violence through Antifa and BLM, the burning down of cities. And a lot of people were throwing around the term civil war, especially on the left. You would see it in the New York Times, you'd hear it on MSNBC and CNN, you'd hear them bring up this idea that the US was moving towards a civil war. But within the MAGA community, especially people like me who are military veterans who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan and North Africa and all around the world, wearing a flag on our shoulder, willing to fight and die if needed for our country. The last thing in the world the people in that crowd wanted to see was the country burn, which is what would happen if it came to civil war. And everyone in that crowd knew that. That is the last thing that this crowd wants to see. As General Flynn said over and over from November through January, we want to use every constitutional option that we have. I met with Professor Eastman several times in, you know, different groups that I was in. And I got to hear him talk about all these different, you know, ways that we could do things and ways that we could rectify the situation. Everybody in that group wanted to find a peaceful solution to right the wrong that we all knew happened. And it's the longer we go down this timeline and the more that we find out, now we're seeing an Antrim, Michigan, now with the recount started across the state of Michigan and Georgia, the one going out of Pennsylvania, of course, Maricopa, it's becoming more and more patently obvious what happened. Everybody knows it. But that crowd, despite how upset they were and knowing that this was blatantly stolen right in front of our faces, and then Time Magazine could flaunt what they did by writing an article bragging about their fraud and their thievery of an American election, the last thing in the world that crowd wants to see is America burn as a result of that. We wanted to see things done the right way. We wanted to see a peaceful, not just transition of power, but a peaceful continuation, a peaceful result to an election of which we all knew the result. We all saw that one person in 2020, in the 2020 campaign, could fill out any venue that he chose on just a few days' notice. And there was another person running for president of the United States who could not get more than 10 non-journalists to a rally, even with weeks of notice, even with the entirety of the mainstream media promoting it for him, even with the heralding that he had from every celebrity. He couldn't get more than 10 non-journalists to a rally. The guy couldn't get anybody. You'd have a few circles of people. They're all journalists. And we saw that. And we knew what should happen. And we knew it, the way that it should have gone. And we wanted it to go peacefully. And unfortunately, the left is very smart in terms of being diabolical. And what I believe and what I believed then, and I now believe from all these different vantage points that I've had of that day and of things that I've heard of people that are very well versed in things like this, was that that area, the Capitol on January 6th, was full of agent provocateurs, people that were specifically driving things toward, as you said earlier, an intended outcome, something that they knew they wanted to happen, that they were driving towards. And that was not a part of this group that wanted things to go peacefully and transition and keep on going in this trajectory of the United States becoming great again, of making America great again.
Now, yeah. You mentioned something that one of the our guests who came on the show, Moms for America, Kimberly Fletcher, had said, and you're echoing her thoughts also, in that the event that day was lackluster, that it didn't have all the bravado that would usually come with a Trump rally. And like you said, it was like a low intensity Trump rally, because we're used to seeing like all this energy. And then you also mentioned that there were big gaps in between the speeches. She said something similar, that the individuals that were supposed to speak, they changed the script and some of them didn't speak. So you're saying exactly what she told us. You didn't know she was coming on before you, that she had come on and had said this, and she didn't know you were coming on. So it would lead me to believe that you're both being truthful, and that the media, who are constantly showing like a 15-minute or 15-second tape that seems as though they clipped and put together to show folks rioting and jumping through windows and whatnot. Now, you also said that the person who more than likely shot Ashley Babbitt was not a Capitol Police. Now, this is my first time hearing this, and that that person was probably on someone's security detail. We need to investigate that to find out. But those key points that you just mentioned, Ashley Babbitt, the person that shot her, the possibility was not part of the Capitol Police. That's huge. And Republicans should be, I would like to think that someone said, wait a minute, was this guy a law enforcement for the Capitol Police, or was he someone's security detail? We need to know the answer. And then the lackluster that was there, low energy. So when you start looking at this, there are a lot of questions that need to be asked, but the media is telling us something different. They're showing us the people that are jumping out of the windows. They're not showing the video of the Capitol Police telling people, come in, come in, come in. Just don't mess up anything. Don't tear this down. Don't do this and don't do that. And they're saying, yes, we just want a peaceful resolution. We're coming in. And even Kimberly Fletcher said that the folks that were going in, they were taking pictures as if though they were tourists. But there was that little segment of folks that by design, they wanted to create chaos. They already had this plan. That is the reason why the Capitol Police, some of them were probably befuddled as to, wait a minute, we didn't know this was going to take place. So these are good points that you mentioned, and I would encourage all of our listeners to think about this and push back and demand that our representatives and senators ask additional questions and give us answers.
Well, and I think, so you touched on a couple of good points that I think really need to be highlighted for people. Number one, they keep talking about the 9/11 style commission. Now, I don't know if everybody in your audience knows this, but there are still quite a few pages from the 9/11 commission report that are completely redacted, that people are not allowed to see, which allows a lot of these questions to remain. The JFK Commission, there were a lot of questions about that, about what they actually did. Our country is not really as good at doing bipartisan or nonpartisan commissions as one would think. Now, if you just listen to MSNBC and CNN, then you would think it's great. They did an infection commission. That's it. It's done and done. But we live in such crazy partisan times right now, especially what's been going on over the last year, that you just cannot trust it. And the only thing that that would do is make things worse, because we're at this point where there's not a lot of people that are really left that you can truly see as bipartisan or nonpartisan. Everybody is highly partisan. Everybody is pushed way, way, way to one side or the other, especially in politics. And nothing that came out of that could be truly seen as something that could be trusted. There's really only one institution left in our country right now that can be trusted, right? So the Congress has a terrible approval rate. The media has an abysmal approval rate. Education, we're seeing school boards getting forced out of office all around the country because they're trying to bring in CRT and Marxist training and things like that. The military is kind of this last bastion of trust as far as institutions go in the United States. And sure enough, what do you see? Every day you look in the news and you see that they are trying to destroy that as well. They're trying to do all these things to take down the military. And I tell you, as a guy that served for 8 years in the military, there is no racism in the military. And yet they're trying to do everything they can to divide members of our military and change it to this kind of woke military they can. When you're in a foxhole, it does not matter the color of the skin of the guy next to you. Race, religion, creed doesn't matter. Are they worth their salt? Will they fight and save your life if it's needed? That's the only thing that matters. And yet now they're trying to take down this last institution in the United States that still has trust. Now, going back to the issue of who that was that, you know, that actually pulled the trigger inside the Capitol on January 6th. I will tell you that Darren Beatty of Revolver has been digging into this a lot, and he kind of arrived at the same conclusion. Now, I have had somebody that I came into contact with that night of January 6th that was there, that was inside the Capitol, and told us that night that no, in fact, it was somebody from Chuck Schumer's security detail that did it. And I've seen that echoed from Darren Beatty, who is doing his investigation with Revolver News. Now, if you haven't been following Revolver, he's the one media outlet that has been correct on the events of January 6th the entire time. They were the ones that forced this retraction when the media kept saying Officer Brian Sicknick died from being bludgeoned by a fire extinguisher. It was Revolver's investigation that made them walk that back because they found evidence that was absolutely not true. They even made them walk back the follow-on narrative that was saying he died from bear spray. They got evidence that wasn't true. And with Darren Beatty's continuously digging into this, they've also found that that guy likely was not a Capitol Police officer, which in one way verifies what I was told that night of January 6th. Furthermore, there are so many weird things about that day. There's a great interview that Michael Yawn, who is a former Green Beret and a current war correspondent that's covered wars all across the globe. He did an interview with NTD shortly after the 6th, I think the month after, where he was pointing out all these places that they saw Asian provocateurs, that he saw the same exact tactics that he had seen used by Antifa around the world when they were training in Syria, when they were training in Hong Kong, all these places that they would go to learn their battle tactics. He said, I saw the same things. I heard the same things being yelled. I saw the same tactics to move equipment forward and reverse. I saw the same thing where they have small cell leaders stationed around the place and the different groups that they have following everything that they say and the commands that they do. That's a great interview. If anybody out there wants to know more about January 6th that you're not hearing or reading from the mainstream media, go find that Michael Yawn interview. Yawn is Y-O-N with NTD News, New Taiwan Daily. Furthermore, there's a really great one. It's only available on BitChute because YouTube and everybody else has taken it down. But if you go into BitChute, there's a 21-minute video called Everything Wrong with the Capitol Shooting, and it breaks the whole thing down. And I will tell you, if anybody in your audience has any tactical experience whatsoever, I want you to watch that video, 21 minutes out of your life, and you'll get a much clearer understanding of that of what happened. But I want you to watch the video from around Ashley Babbitt being shot because they spent a lot of time focusing on that. And I want you to pay attention to the air quotes SWAT team members that come on station. Now, I was a guy, I spent 8 years in some of the most highly tactical units that you can imagine. A lot of my friends that I served with in Special Forces went on to SWAT and HRT and FBI and State Department, all kinds of stuff like that. That group that showed up wearing SWAT gear that didn't really fit, that everybody on that SWAT team looks like they're maybe early to mid 20s. If that was really a SWAT team, it is the worst SWAT unit I've ever seen in my life. And that was Washington, D.C., where you would expect the most highly trained and competent SWAT members in the entire world. The team that showed up looked like their uniform didn't fit. They had no tactics whatsoever. They had no formations. They looked like they just kind of showed up and were looking around and trying to figure out what to do. Every member of any tactical unit in the world for the last decade at least has been trained in TCCC, Tactical Combat Casualty Care. What do you do if somebody gets shot? Not a single member of that SWAT unit that came on scene after Ashley Babbitt got shot tried in any way to deliver any kind of first aid. They didn't do anything. And there are so many parts of that day, especially right there around Ashley Babbitt being shot, that make no sense. They just don't add up. There was the, you know, the video that was making the rounds of the one guy that was being chased through the stairwell. And it, if you pay attention to it, it looks like it was set up. And the really scary thing is that if all of that, if the video of the security guard being chased through the stairwell and the SWAT team that arrived after Ashley Babbitt got shot, if those were staged, and I know that's a large claim, but I'm telling you, if you have any tactical experience, even if you don't, watch that video, Everything Wrong with the Capitol Shooting. If those were truly staged, that means the level at which this was orchestrated is terrifying. Because to be inside of the Capitol, right? We've seen the video, and there were more of them making the rounds now, of the Capitol Police not only pulling back the bike racks and letting people in, but taking selfies with people inside the Capitol, just letting everyone go. There was the video of the guy with a red MAGA hat outside yelling at the Capitol Police saying, please do something. These people are trying to break the windows, and they just laughed at him and didn't do anything. If all of that was orchestrated, the level at which this was orchestrated and the intent of what that would mean is terrifying. Because I think all of us have had an understanding for quite some time now that a lot of our government is corrupt, that there's something going on that we don't quite know what it is, but we know it's not in our favor. There's something happening here. And in order for something of that level that was echoed throughout the media and entertainment complex for so long, and that the narrative was repeated over and over and over, that it was an insurrection. Now, also funny that people should pay attention, it was an armed insurrection. However, if you look at all the files of people being arrested, nobody had any weapons, yet it was an armed insurrection. Now, there was one person that actually was armed, and his name was John Sullivan, and he's a known BLM activist. He was very near the Trump supporter in Denver that got shot not too long ago. And he happened to be right next to Ashley Babbitt when she got shot as well. He had a video that he recorded of the entire event where he was brandishing a knife and he was telling all his fellow BLM supporters around him that he had a knife. He was the only armed one. And it's funny that none of the Trump supporters that were arrested or the ones that have been in solitary confinement for months had any weapons on them. The only one that was armed was known BLM activist and subversive John Sullivan. And yet they called the entire thing an armed insurrection and pretend like nobody from BLM was, Antifa was there, which is patently false. Anybody that looks at this knows it's patently false. And that really, like, to understand propaganda, color revolutions, information operations, and what they are doing with this, it means that there are very powerful forces that are trying to destroy our country within. And that's very scary for a guy like me, not only a family man, but also somebody that, you know, dedicated a part of my life. I still have metal in my body from Afghanistan, right? For somebody that was willing to do what I did and put it all on the line to fight for this country, to know that pencil neck lawyers and politicians and spineless rhinos in DC are willing, they're willingly assisting our country to be destroyed from the inside. That's a very scary thing to think about.
Yeah, well said. And I don't have the security expertise you do, but anyone that watches that video of Ashley Babbitt getting shot and that supposed police officer or security detail just open firing into a crowd of people was not right. And something is up in that situation. You are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more from guest Robert Patrick Lewis.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
I don't know if you've been listening to the first half of our show, but our guest is Robert Patrick Lewis, former Green Beret, author and co-founder of First Amendment Patreon. Man, he has really enlightened us on a lot of things that took place on January 6th. And I've got more questions for him, and I hope we're able to get through them tonight, Andrew. I mean, this is only an hour-long show. We'll definitely have to bring him back. I mean, I enjoy when we're able to find a guest who is well-versed, knows the subject matter, and had firsthand experience. As I mentioned earlier, we had Moms for America, Kimberly Fletcher, who was on to talk about Moms for America, and she ended up sharing with us that she was there at January 6th. Why is January 6th so important? Why are we talking about it now? Well, because the media won't stop talking about it. The Democrats won't stop talking about it, and they want to use this to help give them ground in the election of 2022 and 2024. They're trying to shape the narrative, and we have got to grab this and speak the truth. They're doing the same thing with our history, with the so-called 1619 Project and the woman Hannah Nicole something, who tried just reinvented the history of the United States and claimed that the revolution took place, or the beginning of the United States took place, when the first slaves landed here in America. It had nothing to do with America being formed. And many scholars have come out and challenged her on this. And people have pushed back and said, oh no, she didn't mean that. She's even come out and said, well, no, I wasn't saying that that was the beginning of our country. Yes, you were, because it was on your website. I remember when the article was published in the New York Times newspaper, and she was making the rounds saying that this is the history. But now that she's been challenged on it and people have called her out, they're now trying to backpedal a little bit, but still push the 1619 Project. We have got to push back. This has been in the makings for decades, and now it's coming to fruition. They see an opportunity to take over, and they're going to take over. And Republicans have got to get out of their shell and start pushing back with fire. You have got to push back, because they're playing from a different playbook than the playbook that you're used to. we have got to push back. So let's get back to January 6th, because there's a lot of things that I want to ask, and I'm sure Andrew's waiting for me to shut my big mouth up so that he can jump in. Robert, I want to ask you this. I've just made some notes here. One, how long were you in the military?
8 years, start to finish.
Years. Okay, 8 years. Okay. And you were a Green Beret. Okay. And you saw combat.
Yeah. Iraq, Afghanistan, North Africa wasn't combat, but I got to all three.
Okay. My next question here. Andrew, just hold your horses. I know you're wanting me to hurry up. What do you have to say to those individuals who were there on January 6th that are now saying, oh, Trump told us to do this. And Trump, he's a coward. He told us to go and to tear up the Capitol. He said to do this and do that. Now, it's only about three or four, or I'd say a handful of people that are saying it, because everyone else is saying what you're saying. So what is your response to those individuals who are trying to get out, trying to cop a deal by now attacking the president and saying the president instructed them and told them to go in and, you know, create violence? What are your comments?
So I think to properly go into that, I need to tell a little bit of a story and give people the additional comment that most Americans don't want to believe and don't understand how much of our intelligence agencies are focused right at us. A lot of people want to trust in the FBI, want to trust in, you know, these other people that raise their hand, that take an oath to protect the United States, and they just don't want to believe that they could be against us. But unfortunately, that's something that we're seeing time and time again, whether it's Spygate or everything that we saw against President Trump. Just it really has become disgusting. A lot of Marxists have infiltrated our intelligence services as well. Now, because of my work with First Amendment Praetorian, I have connections. I have, you know, these other people that I know that lead or are parts of these other, what many people call patriot groups. So I was talking with Stuart Rhodes, who started the Oath Keepers shortly after all this started. And, you know, he was telling me that all these different media, so that's when a lot of this started, all these different media outlets and even the FBI were saying that they had arrested these leaders from his group, Oath Keepers. And he told me, you know, it's funny, because these people that in, you know, New York Times and CNN are trotting out, and they're giving all these quotes from that are saying we're Oath Keep leaders, they're not even Oath Keepers members. And that's something that really, so the guy that runs the group is saying that these people that were being trotted out by the media and the FBI as Oath Keepers leaders, and, you know, sure enough, they were giving interviews to all these different mainstream media outlets and saying all these bombastic things. The guy that runs the group is saying they weren't even members of the group. And so if any of your audience understands what glowies are, right, there's these people that work for our intelligence agencies that are purposefully put into different places online. It can be social media. It can be the different boards, 4chan, 8chan, all that different stuff. And they're called glowies because they are so obviously trying to prod people into saying things that would get them in trouble or saying things that can be misconstrued to get them in trouble. And I think that they're, again, around January 6th, the level at which this was orchestrated is very high, and it's beyond a lot of people's comprehension. But I believe a lot of those people are plants. If you understand the types of people that are in these groups, if you understand the actual messaging that was coming out from President Trump, right? I mean, just the most basic one that he got hammered on, right? Peacefully and patriotically make your way to the Capitol, right? That was called citing insurrection. Well, Maxine Waters is telling people to go attack Republicans when they're in stores. I firmly believe a lot of those people are plants. They were never actually members of those groups, or if they were, they were put there on purpose to try to bring them down. And I know it sounds like a lot for some people to believe, but again, go back in your memory and remember all the things that we've seen come out about the FBI trying to infiltrate spies into the Trump campaign, about the FBI trying to infiltrate everything they did through Spygate and Russiagate and Ukrainegate and everything else. Understand that James Comey, John Brennan, Steele, even Steele over at, in MI6 in the UK, they're legitimate communists. It's not a hidden thing. They all have things in their background. John Brennan admitted to voting for communists when he applied at the CIA and took his initial entrance interview. James Comey publicly lauded, I believe it was his daughter, for going to an event that was being, where it was a legitimate communist subversive from the 70s, violent subversive, who was giving a speech. Each of these people have communist or Marxist backgrounds. And to think that those people were in charge of our intelligence agencies, once you understand that and all the despicable things that they have done, you begin to understand it's not really too far outside of their purview with all these other things that they're doing to try to cleanse the United States of people who don't align with them politically. But if you look at the level of the things that they are willing to do to destroy this country and have done, I don't think it's too much of a stretch. And again, I have the leader of this group telling me those people you're talking about specifically were not even members of the group. So people can make their own judgment about that. But I firmly do not believe they were actual members, that those people were set there to make those comments.
I could not agree more. I have attended over 20 rallies. I've been to them in the South. I've been to them on the West Coast, the Midwest, and the East Coast. And I've never seen that guy with horns or all these other people that you see all over the media at any Trump rallies. It's a lot of like families and great people at these Trump rallies. You've never seen any of these clowns attending Trump rallies. Then all of a sudden, January 6th, they're all over the place.
So, you know what's funny? Q Shaman, the guy with the horns. We actually had seen him, our group specifically, First Amendment Praetorian. We did a lot of events for Walkaway, the Walkaway Foundation. And one of them we did in Phoenix, October, maybe early November of last year. That guy was there. I think it was late October. That guy was at the event. And our team immediately knew there was something off about him. And so we placed several of our team members around him. And he didn't really do much. But when he showed up on January 6th, again, in some of these other videos that we've seen him in, he looks like, and he's an actor. I mean, he is legitimately an actor. And just knowing that he was at a couple of these events and with what happened on January 6th, and somehow magically he had dozens of professional film crews and cameramen around him, I believe that actor was paid to play a part.
Play a part, and people believe him. And they have him in such high regard. This is news here that we're breaking, folks. You're getting this directly from someone who saw this, someone who is trained, and I'm shocked as to what you're saying. I mean, my mind has pondered over this. I have thought about it over and over again. And now you're breaking it down. And something else that you mentioned is the Oath Keepers, because that is now a group that I'm hearing the media talk about quite a bit. First, it was the Proud Boys, and now the Oath Keepers. And I thought, wait, where did they come from? And as you said, it seems far-fetched. Some would say that this is far-fetched, but all we have to do is point to the beginning of Trump's presidency and how, during the campaign, how the FBI tried to infiltrate and put someone within the campaign. We know that happened. That is a big deal. But for some reason, it's made light of. And who was responsible? None other than Barack Obama. But we're told, nothing to see here. It was okay. What he did, he had to do it. Well, if he had to do it, why didn't they tell candidate Trump? We have reason to believe that Russia is trying to infiltrate your campaign. So we need to put someone inside. They mentioned it to Dianne Feinstein. They've told everyone else. Why didn't they tell President Trump? Because they wanted to create this narrative that he was colluding with Russia. And now we look 100 plus days into Joe Biden's presidency, or his residency, as some people would like to say. Look at how he's treating Russia. The pipeline that's going to go from Russia to Germany. He has made us oil dependent. All these favors he's given to Russia. And why? Where's the collusion? Where are the collusion people that are going to say, Biden, what are you doing? You're colluding with Russia. Whereas Trump was strong. Where are all those naysayers? Where are all those individuals that want to get out here and point out the collusion? I hate to say it, but I question our government. That was the last place that I would ever question. But now I see why people question the government and they wonder what's happening. Because you have key players that are controlling things. Christopher Wray, I don't trust him at all. He is a pawn. He was placed there to do exactly what he's doing, absolutely nothing. Who recommended him? Chris Christie. Who's thinking about running for the presidency? Chris Christie. Who will I not vote for? Chris Christie. Bill Barr. I held him in such high regard. Bill Barr talked a good talk, and he came out swinging right before the election. He went on many news organizations and saying mail-in ballots was a recipe for disaster, that earlier on there was a commission that was formed with Jimmy Carter, former Secretary of State James Baker, and they all said that mail-in ballots was a recipe for disaster. It could easily be manipulated. And what does Bill Barr do? He fades away. These guys are so deep in the swamp. They're so embedded in making and trying to destroy our country. And why? What is behind it? You spoke about the military and this whole thing with trying to water down our soldiers. And we need to make certain that we have gays and lesbians and all these other groups in the military. Wait a minute. That is the last place or the only place that can, if you want to say discriminate, because you want top soldiers. You want people who can go in and fight. If you have a heart ailment, high blood pressure, flat feet, I don't know if that's still one of the requirements. If you have it, you can't get in. Why is it now that we're letting people in with all these psychological issues? I don't know if I'm a male or I'm a female, but I'm going to go to the military and find out. And when I find out, I'm going to have a sex change. Why is that happening? Why are we allowing the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, to have as his close advisor, a man by the name of Bishop Garrison? We don't know his first name. I've tried to Google it. Why are we allowing him to have this guy as his top advisor? And his role is to go in to find out who voted for President Trump. And if you said you voted for him, okay, this person is a white supremacist. We need to kick him out. Why are we allowing this to happen? This is the United States of America. We don't need a military that looks like Disneyland, full of characters. We need strong soldiers. You look at China. They're telling their man, you're not strong enough. You need to get to the gym. Look at Russia. While the United States, they're producing videos with women saying, oh, well, I've been on the front line and I'm this and I'm that. I don't care what your sexual preference is. I don't care how you identify. We want soldiers. Some have come out and said, well, the military is doing this because they're probably trying to recruit a particular type of person to go in clandestine and just in case we need to. No, it makes no sense. We're the laughing stock. Lloyd Austin is a bureaucrat. Look at his background. Look at the boards that he has served on. He only got the position because he was a black man. Identity politics. And we have a lot of other folks in the military that should not be there. We need to bring back the strong military, because what's happening now will be our demise. While we're trying to play color-coded and sex-coded, the other parts of the world, these other countries like China and Russia and Iran, they're beefing up their army. And when it all falls down, who are we going to blame, Trump? No, we're going to blame that resident in the White House, Joe Biden, and his cackling vice president, Kamala, who's yet to go down to the border wall. She's still hiding. If you're listening tonight, I hope you take this broadcast and share it across your social media platforms. If you feel that what we're saying can be challenged, do challenge us. Call us, send us emails, challenge us. But make certain that you've done your investigation first. Because what we're hearing here, I mean, no one else has talked about this the way it's been talked about tonight by Robert Patrick Lewis. And I'm glad you came on, because you're really insightful. Now, I've got a couple of more questions, but I want to make certain that Andrew get his in, because mine is going to deviate. I'm going to pivot just slightly with my next question.
Yeah, just to take it back to January 6th. Obviously, the election did not sit right with so many. We've never had an election before where we thought we knew the winner on the night of the election, and then all of a sudden they stopped the counting, and votes just start piling in for Joe Biden. There's so many irregularities about this election, like President Trump winning Ohio and Florida, and then still losing the election. We don't see people win Louisiana, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Florida by the big margins that Trump does, and then turn around and lose Georgia. It makes no sense. Robert, with you working security, were you called in to work any of these proceedings after the election where they were counting ballots or anything like that to work protection for some of the people trying to get down to this the bottom of this election fraud?
So we did have a protection detail for a specific whistleblower that had brought her stuff to Sidney Powell, who had evidence. You know, there was a story that was being talked about. It was making the rounds on social media, got quickly shut down about fake ballots being flown in from South Korea. And we actually provided protection for a whistleblower that had evidence that that actually happened. It happened on public airlines and actually happened on private jets. So we did private security for that. We had a protective detail on General Flynn and Sidney Powell and Patrick Byrne in DC from about mid-November through January with all the stuff that they were doing. If you've read Patrick Byrne's The Deep Rig, the book where he outlines all the stuff that he saw, it was actually our team that was protecting them that actually drove them to the White House when they had their meeting with President Trump. And so I was around all of those investigations in many ways throughout that time.
No, I've got a question for you regarding the security details. Just going back to, you had said that the individuals that were there, some of them were probably placed there, I guess, in disguise. How could that happen? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are out there thinking, like, is that possible? How could our government, or would our government allow individuals to perpetrate a lie to make it seem as if though they were there for one thing, but in actuality, they were there to cause a disturbance? What are your thoughts on that?
So I can tell you that there are multiple vectors and multiple ways that they do this. So our group, First Amendment Praetorian, one of the things that separates us from a lot of the other groups is that we have an intense vetting process. So to join our group, you've got to be military, law enforcement, or intelligence community veteran. And it takes anywhere from a week to a month to actually get into our group because we have a vetting team and we have a few secret weapons on our vetting team that are very good at ensuring people are who they say they are and don't have any kind of violent or criminal history background or anything like that. We're very, very, very thorough. And we have people that are very good at that. And we've just from starting, I mean, since we started in late September, we've caught a significant amount of people trying to come in under assumed identities. And we've seen certain indicators that those people, their false identities were made by government contracting agencies, that they were federal agents or contractors or something that were purposely trying to get into our group. And it's something that a lot of groups around the country. So Obama basically made militias and patriot groups domestic enemies. And so he put a lot of resources into our own intelligence agencies to try to infiltrate these groups. Now, the guise was that they were just trying to keep a finger on the pulse of what was going on, make sure these groups weren't up to anything nefarious. But again, as we've seen what's been happening, Spygate, Ukrainegate, and the January 6th events, I believe some of them were put in there as sleeper cells. And if they couldn't get the right people in there, they just made it up, you know? And that's what we've seen around January 6th, is that a lot of it was just made up out of whole cloth. The narrative about the way Officer Sicknick was killed, all these different things, just made up out of whole cloth, just like the Ukraine hoax. And that's a very unfortunate thing to understand as a taxpaying American, is that your taxes are paying for our intelligence agencies to not only spy on Americans, but to try to frame Americans that are just trying to do what they think is right for this country. But I think that's how they got in.
And we refer to these people as being the glowies, as you said, and they would get in, then they would prod people to say something that to get them in trouble. Is that along the same lines?
Well, yeah. So a glowy is specifically online, right? So they're cybersecurity, they're some part of the cyber intelligence complex. And the glowy specifically is online. And that's just a term that's used for them because they glow. They're obvious, right? That it's a 50-year-old dude trying to pretend to be 22. right? they're not good at a lot of that stuff. But there are legitimate undercover agents that try to infiltrate a lot of these patriot groups, militia groups, a lot of these different groups to try to get in there to spy on these groups. And I believe the more nefarious ones to try to frame these groups if the opportunity presents itself.
One more question I want to ask you, then I'll let Andrew come back in. This is kind of pivoting slightly. What are your thoughts on UFOs that they're talking about now? Now, my opinion is that there's a possibility that there are UFOs that are out there, unidentified objects. I think they refer to it as something else now. I think there are a lot of people that are there, especially on the left, that are thinking, oh, these are probably human, not humans, but creatures or other people from another place or entities that are coming in and they're going to try to take over. I think that their interest is more toward the prurient interest as to trying to have relationships with these aliens if they do exist. But my take on this, when I hear about UFOs, is that there are countries, foreign players, radical players that have been able to penetrate through our systems. And they could possibly launch an attack on us. That's my take. I don't believe that these UFOs are foreign beings that are coming here to say, I come in peace, or ET. I think that this is probably a foreign actor, radical foreign actor, that has been able to somehow get here. And that's your UFO. What are your thoughts, Robert?
Just my own personal belief. I believe that statistically, it is impossible to believe that in the entire expanse of the universe, of all these different galaxies and universes that make up the entire universe, that we're the only life forms. I believe there's something out there. However, this one right now, the disclosures that they're talking about right now at this time and place, I think it's a distraction. You know, there's somebody that I listen to, his name is Frankie Valli. He has a show named Quite Frankly, kind of comedian. He goes into a lot of topics other people don't talk about. And he's always been a huge UFO nut. And, you know, it's funny because he says, if they had come out with these disclosures 10 years ago, it would have been all anybody was talking about. But right now, with all the crazy things going on in our world, it's not even a blip. Some people are talking about it, but it isn't really getting that much fanfare. And I think that it is. I think it's just a distraction. I think this right now is nothing more than a distraction to take our eye off of other things that people don't want us looking too deeply into.
Wow. Well, this hour has flown by so far with our guest, author Green Beret and founder of First Amendment Praetorian, Robert Patrick Lewis. Robert, can you tell the audience how they can follow up with your group, perhaps donate and get in touch if they need security even?
Yeah, absolutely. So we just had a new and revamped website go up. It's 1apraetorian.com, and Praetorian is Praetorian.com. We're also on every social media platform out there. We've got a lot of videos on YouTube and Rumble and some on BitChute. But if you want to join our group, if you want to find out more about our group, our past events, our current events, or donate and support the things that we're doing, every member of our group is a volunteer. It's an entirely crowdfunded group. And that's what we do, is we stand up to protect any American out there who is brave and willing to stand up and use their God-given and constitutionally enshrined First Amendment rights. We're there to protect them in this kind of highly partisan and violent time where people are threatening anyone who is willing to stand up. Everything from patriotic and religious events to whistleblowers to people like General Flynn and Sidney Powell and Patrick Byrne. So if that's something that you feel like you can support, you have the wherewithal, please do. You can do it at 1apraetorian.com. And if you don't have the wherewithal, if you could help spread the message, because again, we're all volunteers. We're just trying to do what we can to save this country. And we appreciate any support we can get.
Yeah, thank you so much to our guest tonight, Robert Patrick Lewis. We cannot wait to get him back on sometime. So much to talk about with him. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.